And welcome to That Movie Review. I'm Luke.
And I'm Jason.
We're the guys from That Film Stew, and we're here with our review of Logan. Spoiler warning is advised.
Alrighty, so this is the 10th installment in the X-Men film series, as well as the third and final Wolverine-focused film. This, of course, following X-Men Origins Wolverine in 2009 and The Wolverine from 2013.
Logan is directed by James Mangold and follows a script treatment that took inspiration from the graphic novel Old Man Logan, written by Mark Miller. The film is intended to be Hugh Jackman's final portrayal of the Wolverine character after playing the role for 17 years.
Alrighty, so in the year 2029, with a significant decrease in the mutant population, the X-Men are no more. A weary Logan cares for an ailing Professor X in a hideout on the Mexican border. Logan's attempts to hide from the world with his legacy upended when a young mutant, Laura, arrives, being pursued by dark forces. With Logan's self-healing powers dwindling, he must ask himself whether he can or even wants to use his remaining powers to help Laura.
Just to confirm, this is an X-Men movie, isn't it? It's unlike any we've seen before.
Yeah, straight off the bat, completely different, both visually, production-wise, I mean, just everything you see, story-wise, what they're focusing on. I think the only things that are similar is that you get Hugh Jackman, you get Patrick Stewart, and he has adamantium claws.
To begin with, Wolverine, or Logan. And
they say mutant a few times.
Logan gets beaten up. He eventually defends himself, cutting off limbs, but for the most part, he's getting a bit of a kick in.
Yeah, and I guess a plot point in this film is that his adamantium is actually poisoning him, or at least affecting the way he heals now. So every time he does get beaten up and injured, it's not working as good. So every hit, every blow is bringing him down.
And it gives the impression that maybe the adamantium was always killing him. It's just when he had his healing factor, it was just never an issue. It's only now that he's older and it's not working as well as it used to that the adamantium, as you say, is what's actually killing him.
Oh, perhaps. Could go either way.
2029. So I'm watching this and I'm thinking, he looks very current day. He's very modern. There was the bit on the highway, self-driving trucks.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's a little bit sci-fi. But it was just what was niggling. And I was just like,
we could get those in 15 years.
Yeah, but I was just thinking, I remember Days of Future Past was set before this, but that was like a futuristic hellhole. But then I was thinking, oh, time travel.
Like they fixed all that. The future part of
No Days Sentinels, of past, yeah. So therefore that future didn't come to pass because Apocalypse, wrong movie. Your favourite movie. Hey. Days of Future Past, it seemed more sci-fi than this. Yeah, as we say, this is
at least the future side to it. I guess on that, like, being in 2029, I think if we were to take these characters in this film and put them in, like, maybe a major city, you'd see more of the jazzy sort of futuristic stuff. I know we're in the Wolverine film, which is still set before this one, but a little bit further on, you know, you're in, I don't know if it's Tokyo exactly, but it's somewhere in Japan, and it looks very futuristic. Maybe that's because of the Japanese elements to it and all their technology stuff. But, you know, this one's set out on the American countryside. Maybe technology isn't as, you know, high-tech and up there within those smaller towns and cities and stuff.
So if you think that it's not that far away from where we are now.
Only 15 years, yeah.
It was just the fact that I was thinking of, you know, the sci-fi future that we got in Days of Future Past, but again, no Sentinels.
Well, they changed it all, so
things slow. Mentioned the characters we do have. You got Xavier, Wolverine, but the other X-Men are not present.
Yeah, so which is obviously sets up the premise of this film. Why are they alone? Where is everyone?
And I did call it, I can't remember when, but a couple of podcasts ago, I think it was on the movie show, and we were talking about what could be happening in this movie, and I speculated, based on the comic book, again by Mark Miller, Wolverine, under the influence of Mysterio, he wipes out the X-Men, thinking that they're actually the enemy when they were his friends. So I was thinking, you've got two X-Men, maybe they flipped it and Xavier is responsible for the death of the X-Men. And we find out it's confirmed in this movie. He is.
Yep. Powerful Which is stuff. Grim. It's dark. Now you've got his character, Professor X. He's, like I've said, he's pretty much dying. He's in a very old, very fragile state. He's having seizures. His powers aren't... Well, it's revealed that his powers still do work. He can do things with his mind,
But it's when he has the seizures, and that's what happened at Westchester. That's what happened with the X-Men.
Yeah, uncontrollable. There's a scene at the hotel where people pretty much become paralytic for a short period of time until Wolverine can step in and get him sorted. It's a good setup with these characters, especially having Wolverine where he is now, you know, riddled, beaten down, still caring for this man who so long ago took him in.
I mean, you're saying still caring for this man. He is caring for them, but they've literally swapped roles.
Mm.
You had Wolverine as the weapon and Xavier caring for him, but now Xavier is the unstable weapon and Wolverine is the caregiver.
You've taken that in like in a very comic book nerd kind of way. I just saw it as a father-son reversal sort of role. You know,
it like, is that
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, bring yeah. up. But again, you have the comic book spin on it, which is exactly right as well.
So that's what happened to the mutants. And we do hear X-Men. Like at first, it was like on the news, somebody was about to... There was talking about the Westchester incident and they was about to say X-Men, but they got as far as X and the TV was turned off or the channel was changed. Well, that was cool. We get to finally see Wolverine in the yellow costume, but just in the pages of a comic book. X-23 is a fan of the X-Men, just like we are.
Yeah.
Nice touch. And just with that, on the comic book, so we're talking about Laura, X-23. I mean, what a performance. But her drive is to get to a place called Eden, which is in the back of an X-Men comic book, and that's where she's going to meet her fellow young mutants, the last of their kind, and Wolverine's to help her get there. But then he's like, but it's not real. But then you've got to think, though, to her it's real. To her friends it's real. And they're going to somewhere they believe to be Eden. So at what point does it stop being real?
Mm. Like, they can make it real.
I really liked that.
They've all got a meeting point.
But wow, Mini Wolverine, X-23, she is just fierce.
Now this is akin to Hit Girl from Kick-Ass, you know, that's a little small. I think she was 11 when they filmed this movie. The violence and stuff that they get her participating in.
So Laura is younger and played by actress Daphne Keane, who hasn't done that much before. I think she had an uncredited role in the Will Ferrell comedy Daddy's Home. Outside of that, I don't think she's done much. Yeah. But in this movie, I think she was so much more effective when she was silent.
Yes. When they had her starting to talk, it worked and it was nice. And it's like, okay, now we get to, you know, see her, sort of explore her role a bit. But yeah, the powerful punches that she was giving emotionally, just being quiet, silent, just doing what she does. Incredible.
But then she did start talking, not in English and no subtitles, which I thought was a... interesting approach.
I like when they do that because we're taking it from Logan's point of view and he can't understand what she's saying, so we shouldn't be able to either.
So yeah, it does work, but as soon as she's talking, it takes something a little bit away and she does end up speaking English, which I do like that because it's progression, she's learning, and I think she is more capable than she's initially letting on.
Yeah.
Like she wants to be silent for the most part. We've got the Reavers. They're from the comics as well, so they're, you know, military, and when they lose limbs or, you know, when they're injured in battle, they'll just
give them new ones.
Replace them with cybernetic parts.
And I guess that's very 29 of them.
And you've got Donald Pierce, played by Boyd Holbrook. Yeah, I mean, that is very sci-fi.
Yeah.
Like especially the scene you see in the trailer as well, where he's taking off his sunglasses with the metal hand, which is, you know...
Very Terminator-ish.
Cool. So you've got Transgene Security, and that's who the Reavers are working for, and they're the people that were experimenting on mutants, initially using DNA from other mutants to merge with these kids and for them to be like a new army. But then they find a more effective way, which is X-24. And I like that it was like a blink and you'll miss it. You just saw a subject named X-24 at the beginning of the movie.
And you're like, well, something's coming.
But when it came, I didn't know that's what was coming.
Yeah.
And I am so happy that I didn't know. But the Reavers, did you find them threatening? I mean, they don't last too long with X-23 around. But...
Oh, well, I mean, guys, I mean, they looked essentially just like a SWAT team, all armored up, big guns and stuff. But yeah, easily taken out by, you know, the power of Wolverine and X-23.
And it was a good idea having someone like the Reavers where there's just almost like an endless number where you could just have more and more just coming out, give them other slightly distinctive designs so they look different enough.
But essentially just keep killing them, more will come. Keep killing them, more will come.
But again, X-23, I really, I mean, wow, she was great in this movie. Old Man Logan. So that's where the idea of this movie came from, and it's what we get. We get a much older Wolverine. He can only pop two claws, and he needs to use his hand to pull out the third
claw.
That
scene, where he's pulling it out, and he's just, like, cutting his hand. Rough.
And he's working as a limo driver, and he's earning just enough money to pay for Xavier's medication. I just said, stop with the seizures. But I'm glad that was the reason he was doing it, because at first, I thought it was pain medication for himself. I didn't want his healing factor to be that bad, where he was having to rely on medication to numb the pain. I liked that it was for somebody else.
Well, remember, in previous films, he stated, you know, like every time he releases his claws and every time something happens to him, he feels every bit of pain.
And I love that.
So if he hasn't over the 100-odd years that he's lived, if he hasn't come to deal with that pain yet, I don't think painkillers is the answer. You know,
I mean, that's taking us back to the first X-Men movie, and it was Rogue. That asked him the claws.
Does it hurt?
Does it hurt when it comes out? And then he just says, every time.
Every time.
Oh, and he sells you. That is a great thing. We're back to Logan.
Yeah.
So he's dying. He's broken. So this is a Wolverine that I never thought in a million years we would get to see in a movie. The violence. We've got to address the violence. Now, based on the trailer, that there was, you know, a standard all audiences trailer. Fine, look good.
All good, yep.
And then they put out the Red Band trailer, and you saw a guy getting stabbed, Wolverine claws through the bottom of his jaw at the top of his head. You're like, wow, so that's what they're going to touch on in this movie? No, that was the movie. This was, think of it.
That was probably the tamest scene that what you were just referencing.
Just think of another Western movie, mainstream, that is as violent as this, an action movie. Not just a comic book movie, but an action movie.
Like, I go to like the Quentin Tarantino of violence. Maybe not as...
But that's not as consistent as what you get in this. Like, he does, you know, have heavy violence, but outside of Western cinema, you'd think The Raid, which I think would be the closest comparison.
Oh, yes, yeah.
But they're looking to remake that, you know, they're doing an American version, but I don't think that's going to be as violent as Logan. No. This, limbs flying, heads getting cut off. Like, at one point, Wolverine, with the claws out, stabs someone in the back of the head, and you see the claws come out the front of the face.
The scene where he's racing towards Xavier at the hotel, and everyone's sort of stuck in a very slow motion sort of pace, and he's just stabbing them, not fast and quick, like blinking you miss it.
That was a great
it
scene.
It was stab. I mean, stab.
And it reminds you of the Quicksilver scenes from the last two X movies, but obviously a lot more violent.
A lot more violent, a little comedy. Less fun. A little less fun, just... I mean, the first scene... where, you know, like a bunch of, I guess, maybe Mexicans or whatever they are, a bunch of bad dudes. They're not the Mexicans, the bad dudes, but they're stealing his hubcaps, and suddenly it just kicks on violence. I was sort of shocked, almost, you know, like I kind of knew what to expect, but, you know, it's a Marvel film. I'm sitting there watching comic book characters just stabbing each other blood, but it's a bit confronting. Not saying I didn't like it. Just saying it's confronting.
The movie Apocalypse, you know, love it or hate it. I know you love it. But it seemed to, you know, it divides people. But a lot of people, what they do like is the Wolverine Berserker scene. You know, when you get to see him in the Weapon X program. Yeah. And you're like, wow, this is finally Wolverine like we've always dreamed.
That's a cartoon compared to
Logan. This is Wolverine. I mean, wow. Think back to X2. The scene in the X-Mansion, which is still my favourite scene from the X-Men movies, where the soldiers are closing in on the school and Wolverine is the only adult outside of Colossus. And he's protecting them and he's going violent. But again, nothing compared to this.
As realistic and, I guess, on a violent level that you can consider some of those scenes throughout the movies that we've seen so far, they're just nothing. Like, every stab is a clean stab. There's never... blood or any sort of real level of blood. I guess the goriest bit is probably Wolverine stabs a chick in, I think, X2, that Lady Wolverine kind of character.
Deathstrike.
That's the one, yeah. That's confronting because it's like, oh, he's stabbing a a woman. This is a comic book film. What's going on?
But again, like,
again, a cartoon compared to what we're seeing here.
Honestly, nobody would have been able to convince me of the level of violence I was going to get in this movie.
I mean, people have wanted this and they've asked for it, and they're like, "We'll never get an R-rated." Again, R-rated being the American rating, an R-rated Wolverine film. Blah 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 blah. Oh, X-Men should go to Marvel, you know, like on the Disney productions and stuff. If that was to happen, this movie would never have been made.
Right, okay. So there's Marvel Studios, they're doing great work, you know.
Yeah, of course.
We really enjoy those movies. But I'm thinking more and more now, like, I know Spider-Man, you know, Sony's worked out a deal where Marvel Studios can use the character and have some crossover there. But I'm more than happy for X-Men to stay being its own thing. Keep it at Fox.
Yeah.
Just have it be its own thing. I think that would work better in the comics as well. Just let the X-Men be the X-Men, having their own adventures.
And not having a world of superheroes amongst a world of mutants.
Because they're constantly being interfered with by the Inhumans, and you've got the Avengers and everybody else. But I'm thinking now, like, just let X-Men be.
Yeah.
And as you say, we wouldn't have got this movie if it was back at Marvel.
No, nothing like what we see.
And that's not saying we want all the movies to be like this. It's just for this particular character, it worked for Deadpool and it worked for Logan. We get a lot of swearing in this movie and it's not mild either.
And it's not even just from Wolverine.
Xavier, everyone's at it.
I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, but he's in a bad way, so, but he's letting it go. Like,
no, I think everything, the actions, the dialogue just fits this world. If it was a younger Xavier in a different movie, maybe it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, he's teaching a class of young mutants and suddenly he's like, exactly, F this and F that. It's like, calm down, mate.
But the rating, you've mentioned that. So let's talk about this, right? So it is R-rated, but that is the American rating.
Yeah.
And it just sounds more hardcore than it is.
No, so, it's Australian's MA or whatever it is in the UK.
So if you're not familiar with the Australian rating... So MA15, that's what the movie is in Australia. And what that means, if you are under the age of 15 and you have a responsible parent...
Or irresponsible,
and I'll get to that. If you believe this movie is right for your child, you can take them to this movie.
You are an idiot.
There was a lot of kids in this movie. There's violence. We spoke to the bad language. And at one point, I am not kidding, a mother... Her daughter must have been probably 6, 7, and she was crying and she was really upset about the, you know, what was happening on screen. It was pretty brutal. And then the mum wrapped the coat around the little girl and just rushed her out the cinema.
Yeah, just take her out.
And then there was other kids afterwards. This is an X-Men movie. It is. But it's not a kids movie. It really isn't. And some parents should just know better.
But also, like, the cinema chains and stuff selling the tickets, they should advise and be like, just be one, you know, especially for a film that is following. They would have done the same with Deadpool, you know, like, oh, it's a comic book film. People are going to be like, oh, look, colour. People in tights. You not so much this one.
Yeah, but it's up to the parents, though.
But at the cinema, they can say this is quite a violent, and they'll be like, oh, no, I've seen worse stuff on the internet. Like, yeah, it happens. Had it all before.
I mean, it's as if, you know, you've got his parents, they can't get a babysitter, they want to watch Logan. But yeah, so it's MA15 in Australia. There's a couple of deaths in this movie. A lot of people are speaking about how this is Hugh Jackman's last turn as Wolverine. Patrick Stewart. He's also come out and said that this is going to be his last X-Men movie. I mean, that could change. And I think for both of them, but as it stands at the moment, this is the film that they're going to go out on. And again, we gave the spoiler warning. You're still with us? They both die, both Xavier and Logan. And I've got to be honest, I wasn't too sure if that's what was going to happen.
It's not like they didn't have to kill them. It didn't have to happen.
It worked, though.
It worked.
It's a neat ending. Like, okay, so Hugh Jackman, he plays two parts.
He does.
I had no idea. Did you know going in that he was going to play a younger Wolverine?
No.
I had no idea. So when he first came in and you saw Wolverine looking like he did in that first X movie. X-24.
Also, like, with a shaved head.
Yeah, and facial hair.
Yeah.
And just jumping around a little bit. I like the fact that the kids gave him a bit of a, you know, a do-over, like a makeover, and trimmed
his comic book counterpart.
Yeah, I liked that. But we've got, like, an older Wolverine fighting a younger Wolverine. And that was a great scene. And it is the the clone, X-24, that kills Xavier. And it's such a powerful scene because before he kills him, for the first time, Xavier remembers and he's talking about what happened at Westchester. It's a really, you know, strong scene. And then
so you're already dealing with that.
Yeah, that and then revelation. Xavier is killed, claws through the chest.
So you're dealing with then that.
And then the family that's helping them, they're killed.
Yeah.
It's really full on, and brutal, violent.
You're trying to work out, is that Logan? Is that, who is that? It looks like him, it's not. Oh, what? And then, yeah, it's messy.
And you've got to,
it's like, coherent, though.
And Wolverine, you know, he's never been, he was always seen in Xavier's eyes as being a leader. Like, you could help these people and you can lead them. Mm-hmm. And Logan had always fought against that, but he ends up finding the mutants and he leads them and he sacrifices himself. The scene where he's got that, the medicine, that don't take it all.
Yeah, screw it, I'm taking it.
Logan is wounded, they're in the forest. The Reavers are looking to track down the mutant kids. And he takes the whole medicine. And you've got that awesome scene where you just see like a wide shot of the forest and then you hear Wolverine roar. And then it's him just running like a madman.
Like brilliant. Like an animal.
like a beast. Or an animal. That fits.
Like a Wolverine.
Leaping through the air. Just, wow. That was, for Wolverine to go out in like a blaze of glory like that. And then he's fighting X-24. He's always held on to the adamantium bullet, which came from, if I'm right, X-Men Origins Wolverine. That's where that bullet came from.
Oh, I didn't make that connection.
Yeah,
I try and forget that film. I think I watched it once.
Well, I was under the impression that Fox was trying to forget that film as well. But you know, Days of Future Past happened, but maybe you got it a different way, but he's got an adamantium bullet. X-23 uses it on X-24, the clone of Wolverine, and kills him.
So I'm just in a bit of a spin now, because I'm like, what? Okay, yeah, no, cool.
And then Xavier...
But yeah, that's...
Sorry, well, Xavier's already dead, but now Logan dies. So I think at this stage we're just doing more of a recap. Did a review.
A play-by-play of the film.
Logan dies, and then the next scene, but he's laid to rest, he's under the pebbles, the young mutants, they're standing around. And I did think we were going to get... I think if it wasn't with Fox, and maybe if it was with Marvel, maybe we'd have seen one pebble move.
No,
you know, a little bit of movement.
Like a chess piece. Like...
Yeah, yes. Yes. Okay, so Fox have been guilty of it before, but I thought maybe they'd just do something, but they did nothing. And what a nice touch. You've got the cross, and then Laura, X-23, she removes it and she lays it down to form an X on the top of the grave.
I want to tell you how I first, when I was watching that final closing scene and she turns it, as she started, I knew what she was doing. I was like, cheesy as, but it's been close to 23-ish hours since I've seen it. I thought about it and I was like, this film, it's about family, the father and son element between Logan and Professor X, the daddy-daughter thing with Logan and Laura. Wolverine has nothing to sort of claim to accept his family, which is the closest thing to that is the X-Men. So the X symbol is like his family crest almost, there's nothing else. So it's sort of more than just like, oh, he was an X-Men. He was a part of the X-Men. And that's nicer.
Mate, when she called him daddy. Oh, my word. Oh. Beautiful.
You just wanted him to say, I don't know what if he said something, it was a dying mumble. And I don't think he said, was able to say what I think, you know, you kind of wanted to say, but yeah, that was a powerful punch.
And they finally connected at the end, and you did see them as father and daughter. Which was interesting because in the comics, you know, where X-23 originally comes from, she was like a female clone of Wolverine.
Yeah,
and I guess
yeah.
We got the clone version with X-24, but I liked that using his DNA, she was born, you know.
In a way, she's still a clone, it's just that they used a vessel in a way.
But she is, but it's almost as if, you know, the bad guy just went to a sperm bank and got a couple of samples of Logan,
yeah.
And then there she is. So she's less, I think she's less of a clone, and she was just born.
Yeah, that's
DNA.
True. Yeah. What is cloning, you know?
So you've got to, okay, so this is, again, it's 2029. You've got the young mutants going off, and up until this point, we have had the, you know, superhero costumes. Originally, we got the black leather because it was, you know, 2000.
And it's like, let's be real.
And then First Class came around. It was in the 60s. And they gave us the flight suits, you know, the yellow and blue. It is more comic booking. It looks like they're still going in that direction.
But it kind of made sense for the time period. It does. And it's coloured. We love it.
And it's going in that direction, you know, with, you know, Apocalypse, the way that movie ends with the young X-Men. But do you think if they're going to, they could move forward, like give it a couple of years, let the actress age, and then maybe do another, you know, X-23 story, and it would completely make sense for her to have the classic Wolverine costume
because
based
she's such
on the
a
comic
fan.
Books.
Yeah, the comics are established.
And for the other Young Mutants as well. So it's almost like it all started colourful in the 60s, 70s, and then, you know, 2000, they went all
those dull
2000s. Leather. But it, like you say, it fits the time. It fit the 60s, 70s, but now inspired by the comic books, we could get, you know, future X movies where we get Wolverine looking, even though it's not Hugh Jackman, but like in the comics now, all new Wolverine, X-23.
That's it. So on that, for this movie to potentially have a follow-up, have something moved on, focused on X-23 and her, you know, bandits of Young Mutants there, what storyline sort of would this be following?
No idea.
Cool. I was like, is there something that is actually in concrete?
Years and years of comics. Well, so most of the comics, unless it's like Age of Apocalypse, where it's like an alternate future or, you know, stories like that, most of them are current day. Like they're set in the modern day. So there's stories that I guess there's more stories to be told, but I just think there's potential there for, you know, down the track.
So X-23
as Wolverine.
This won't lead to a potential like New Mutants or like...
No, because they
like
are
that.
Doing New Mutants, but it's not necessarily going to be set. I think they purposely set this movie at the end of the timeline that they're playing around with at the moment. Because the new X-Men movie, it's got the untitled, or like a working title, Supernova, which I think has recently been debunked as the official title of the next movie. But whatever they call it, that movie will be set in the 90s.
Yeah.
So they're quite a few decades away from actually reaching the Logan timeline anyway. But it's just good to know that potentially, you know, we've got a good X-23 already, and we could finally see her suit up.
Could be fun. What do you think was on the other side of the border waiting for the kids that the Reavers were so afraid of? You know, they were like, we can't let them get to the border.
Oh, that's interesting. I wasn't necessarily... I was thinking, you know, beyond the border. It's almost like, you know, real world parallels you've got.
Or like
America,
the Reavers,
Canada.
As much as they seem like the bad villains, it was like they still had a jurisdiction. They couldn't.
So they couldn't actually.
That's all it was.
I think they couldn't cross the border, but it's more of like they see them as their mistakes.
Yeah.
And they want to wipe away all evidence of it.
Because they were heading towards Canada. I've heard rumors of Alpha Flight.
I mean, that'd be cool. I mean, there's potential out there. Oh, you know.
Am I?
You asked the question, what story could they tell? That one, Jason.
I was waiting for that answer, so I thought I'd just explain it.
I really like that. So doing an Alpha Flight movie, which could be set in the year, say, 2035.
Futuristic. Maybe the Canadians are a little bit more colourful with their costumes. X-23 wants to suit up because she has these visions of,
I
you know, the
see
comics.
That movie. Sold.
Alpha Flight. Even if they want to call it, like, X-Flight or something, just to brand it. But I don't know if people will be upset about that. But
no, Alpha Flight.
Alpha Flight works.
X-Men Perfect.
From the world of X-Men.
So that's Logan. And if you watched it at the cinema like we did, well, I think that's how you watch the movie. No end credits. Same.
No, nothing at all.
Nothing.
Although fitting for this film and the tone and just the more maturity of this film to not have an end credit scene works. Although I sat there and I sat there with the people that I watched the movie with and...
I waited.
We waited.
Yep, I waited the whole time.
And we judged every person who walked out. We were like, what are you doing?
I was fairly sure there would be nothing, but you can't just go on that. You need to wait and see for yourself.
Of course.
But there was a Deadpool 2 teaser.
And that wasn't at the end of the credits or nothing. That was...
And just in America. And this was a teaser that is before Logan.
Mm. Which I think works if they were to put it at the end of the credits...
You need it to be before, and
it's a shift in tone, and it's off.
It's before Logan, and it mentions Logan, but it's its own thing.
Mm.
So what did you think to the teaser?
I've watched it twice. The first time, really, really funny. The second time, not as funny.
I mean, it works. It is long. I mean, it's like 4 minutes.
It's a take on like the Superman sort of...
It is, and it features the John Williams Superman theme.
Which is...
Curious how that came about. Like, I do know that the X-Men movies are produced by, It's either Laura or Lauren Donna, which is the wife of Richard Donna, who, you know, directed Superman the movie.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So there is that connection. So I don't know if they've somehow got the music rights that way. I mean, either way, it makes for a good scene, but a lot of people have taken the opportunity, again, to have a go at DC, or, you know, mainly Superman, by saying the jokes on Superman that, you know, this is like a silly, outdated thing. But for me, that's not the joke. The joke is that Deadpool isn't Superman. So it's not putting Superman down to raise Deadpool.
No,
up.
It's Deadpool being like, I'm a bit crap because...
And it's played for jokes.
I'm crap.
So I think it works really well. As a big DC fan, I took it in good jest and I didn't see it as a negative at all. But again, a lot of people online have. Surprise.
It was both parody and homage and an honor to the classic sort of superhero way of getting it done. You know, like jump in a phone booth. I'm Superman, here I am, save the day. Deadpool failed to do that because he tried to replicate that.
And Logan didn't have a Stanley cameo, but the Deadpool 2 teaser did.
So if you watch it in America, I guess you got to see this teaser. That's your Stanley cameo. For us here, possibly in the UK as well, I'm not sure if they're getting the teaser. You don't get a Stanley cameo in this film, but I don't think you get them in the X-Men, in the Wolverine films anyway. I could be mistaken.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. But I'd have to go back.
I think Stanley stated before that he didn't make Wolverine, so he didn't think it was fitting for him to be in it. Although he didn't.
But he didn't make Deadpool, and he was still popped up in that.
In the old strip club?
Maybe he was already there. And they're like, sorry, Stan. That's not true. So there we have it. Logan, do we want to do... Well, of course we do. We'll go to the rating.
We'll do ratings. Do you want to go first?
No, you can go.
Okay, cool. All right, so you can look at this movie, I suppose, in two ways. In one way, it's amazingly shot, produced, and executed film, feeling like a small independent production. In another way, it's so far its own thing that it doesn't feel aesthetically like a comic book or, I guess more specifically, an X-Men movie. As much as it's different, daring, and incredible, Logan is... To me, at least, was shockingly violent, and to be honest, in the grand scheme of things, a bit miserable. You have to work out what you want from the movie to decide whether you like it. But for me, it does. It hits the emotional keys. It looks great. The acting is incredible, which I don't think we touched on enough. Patrick Stewart, Hugh Jackman, wow. Looks great. I already said that, sorry. It's Wolverine front and center in the gritty form that works best. It's what people have always wanted. It's a wonderful send-off for both Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart. So, I'm going to give it a 4. Out of 5.
My word.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Before you continue, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind people that you gave...
Ignore the
X-Men
5.
Apocalypse 5 out of 5.
I've said this before. I had a marathon of all the X-Men films, and watching Apocalypse really solidified that I was like high on X-Men. And if I could retract that 5, I probably would definitely need to. But I had a good time with it. Wolverine, as much as it is a good, well-made film, did I enjoy it? Yes. Did I enjoy it so immensely that I'm in love with the movie? No. And for that, I'm giving it a 4.
I mean, that's fair enough.
Yeah, like, it's so well-made. And it is very hard to criticize any part of the movie. But yeah, it comes down to a personal choice, and did I actually enjoy watching it? Again, yes, but also no.
I mean, not every movie can be Apocalypse, so...
Shut up.
Wow, okay. I mean, you covered a lot of the same ground that I would. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. Again, I wasn't prepared for the level of violence, but it completely worked for this character. X-23 was great. You mentioned we probably didn't speak to enough the performances. Like, knowing that this is Hugh Jackman's last turn as Wolverine.
Best actor nomination.
Where do you go?
Yeah.
Like, just the moment where he went berserker in the forest towards the end, and Jackman does this thing where his nose becomes like almost like a triangle. Like, it's really animal-like. He really sucked in his nostrils, and then he gives like a big roar.
Sound like, a, say, like a bull, very, like...
Very animalistic. Like, I don't know where you find another Wolverine, and I'm sure we'll see one day, but he really is that character. We do already have another Xavier in James McAvoy, and he's great in his own right. But yeah, the send-off for Xavier, and it was just... it's not very often, like not just in movies, but in comics, where you get to read the last story. And I'm so impressed that we got to see that as a movie. It's a definitive end. Now, X-Men, time travel, the Mountain Dew, everything. But as it stands at the moment, it's the third act, which that's not a regular thing you will get in a superhero movie. It delivered everything and more. Like, it was just a great, and again, it was grim, so it wasn't like a joyous movie, but it did have its jokes. It had so much like human interaction, like, you know, take the superpowers away and, you know, the advancements in, you know, the Reavers and everything else. Like that scene where you've got Xavier, Wolverine, X-23 with a human family and just sharing a dinner. Like, this is a superhero movie where, like, one character helps another character go to the toilet. The scene between Wolverine and Logan, it's such a human story.
Yeah, it's a movie about these three lost characters and they're just thrown into this situation.
I was just absolutely taken with this movie. Now, the director, James Mangold, he said he's trying to release a black and white version. I don't need that. I get what he's trying to do. You know, it already feels like an arty movie, you know, for this, for this, the size of this movie and the you know, where they're basing the characters from. It is a five for me. And I was, you know, back and forth. I was thinking, you know, roughly around where you are, but I can't really bring it down for anything. Well, we didn't talk about Stephen Merchant as Caliban. He made no effort whatsoever to change his accent, but that's fine. You know, that's all right.
Just a last throw in there.
But Caliban, yeah, you know, we've seen him before in your favourite X movie, Apocalypse. And after this podcast, I will stop mentioning that.
You've been holding out. It's all led to this.
No, five. Yeah, five popcorn combos out of five. I thought this was just a perfect movie. And what a great send-off for these characters. And hopefully just the beginning of X-23. Now, I do want to take this opportunity to plug something new that we have coming. So I'm looking to upload this podcast tonight, which is Monday. I haven't quite got the date.
The 6th?
Yes.
Public holiday today.
But on Thursday, I will be uploading something new. It's a new show that we've been looking to get off the ground for a while now. It is Sounds Like Comics. And if you're already subscribed to that Film Stew, it will appear in your feed on SoundCloud and iTunes. The focus of the first episode will be Legion. We'll primarily be covering the pilot and we'll touch upon the backstory in the comics. But I thought this would be a good opportunity, just in the release schedule and the fact that it's X-Men and the X-Men TV series, to announce it. So check it out. So that's it for our review of Logan. Please go subscribe and download this podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. And please leave us a review. It helps listeners just like you find the podcast.
We are on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Film Stew Podcast. We also have our website, www.thatfilmstewpodcast.weebly.com.
You've been listening to Luke and Jason, the guys from That Film Stew. See you soon.
Come out to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
I was thinking Johnny Cash for the intro. You know, the use on the trailers.
Oh man, whenever you want to use Johnny Cash, do it.